Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are a couple of best friends and credentialed Clippers media people who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Oh yeah, almost six because we just recorded an episode and now we have to re-record.
This is the take two. We kind of lost an episode, but hey, this one's going to be even more focused for you. In case you didn't know, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
As I said, we bring you Clippers news 5 days a week. Couldn't be more happy to do so. And especially not more happy than today. It's my favorite day of the week.
What day is that?
It's Twitter Tuesday.
Yes.
So thank you so much to everyone who sent in those questions ahead of time. If you would ever like a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead, shoot those over at Locked On Clips. Generally, Chuck sends out a feeler, I'm calling it, on Monday.
Okay.
So yeah, definitely do that. Thank you once again to everybody who sent those in ahead of time.
For sure.
And then in segment two, we're talking a little bit more about load management.
It's going to be very real this year, I think.
Yes, there's some new wrinkles with some teammates as well as some ongoing management, and then the possible layer of COVID management on top of that. So we're going to talk about that. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends floating around by the Clippers, we got some interesting stuff for you. Former Clipper G League great, moving on to brighter pastures, and a recently unearthed Kawhi pick. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So again, thank you to everyone who sent in the questions for Twitter Tuesday. Welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Clipper Mitch wants to know, how can we watch Clipper games now that nobody is streaming Prime Ticket or Fox Sports? He doesn't want to go back to DirecTV. I second that because I wouldn't. They still do the dish for DirecTV?
I think so. Isn't that their whole thing? I don't know. Is DirecTV cable?
Couldn't tell you.
See, so if you can't tell, neither of us have ever purchased a sports package or a satellite package. So
DM us and we'll give you some links.
Yes.
Watch Clippers games.
DM at Locked On Clippers. Chuck will hit you with the links. It's unfortunate that even if you want to pay for the League Pass, you can't get your local games.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good for the streamers, though. I hope they're making some money.
Yeah, donate to those streams. Donate that Bitcoin that we all got there.
And stay off the chats.
Yes,
the chats
also,
are bad.
You're not learning anything on the stream chats. Please don't do that. Alfredo Rodriguez wants to know, do we see Batum as a de facto point guard? And if so, could we have a four forward lineup? Do you want to take this one?
All right. I love where your head's at from an experimentation standpoint. You know, certainly the league is moving towards like a glut of forwards.
Everyone's 6'7", everyone can pass, everyone can shoot.
Yeah, being your starting five, but no. Batum is not that guy. You look at other teams who do a similar thing like the Celtics. They still have a traditional point guard. So I don't think that Batum is going to be able to fill that role. He's a solid playmaker for the position.
Physically, I don't even think he can do it.
Yeah, physically, his body is no longer there. I would be surprised if we even saw him taking the ball up at all. But what Batum will be good at is just a solid wing off the bench. I do think that as a backup three, if he can stay healthy, getting that dude on a vet man is a very solid contract to me.
For sure. I don't even know. I was thinking about this lineup and it had me laughing because I was like, all right, so I got Batum at point.
Yep.
Yeah, Kawhi, PG, Mook, and then Serge or Zoo. It just seems like a disaster. It'd be like when everyone wanted Trez and Zoo to play together and then we watched it and it was really bad.
He's just not a good enough ball handler, so you're still putting all that responsibility on Kawhi and Paul George, which, you know, could work. I would still just say that, like, from a position standpoint, he still wouldn't be playing the point guard.
Exactly. And moving on to a question about the point guard, Nick Jacobs asked, would Luke or Pat make more sense to start at point guard? Luke Kennard and Pat Beverly. And Afghan Stallion actually added a nice wrinkle, which I think I kind of agree with for the most part. What are the chances Kennard starts at point to start the season? Afghan Stallion honestly thinks that would solve a lot of problems, sending Bev to the bench to help cover for Lou on defense, and Kennard will provide spacing and playmaking for the starters.
Afghan Stallion, I like this a lot. I do think that there is certainly a benefit to be said of having Pat be on that bench, because right now, as constructed, that backcourt defense is a sieve. It's atrocious. Yeah. It's really, really bad. As far as making more sense, to Nick Jacobs' point, I still think, just because they've played together, it still makes more sense to start Pat at guard.
Yeah. Now, Pat also does provide spacing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he's excellent off ball. He has improved his floater game, his finishing at the rim. And he just has, like, he's a vet. I think that he has the voice in the locker room and on the court to, you know, get people into sets, make sure that they're doing their thing. But I think where things get interesting is when you start to look at the rotations and the subs out, because, you know, we're going to talk about this more in the second segment with load management, but certainly Pat is someone who's going to need to be managed. And if you have Kennard, maybe the first sub in there at the point, sometimes we would see Lou subbed in first for George. If you have Kennard come in there at the point as kind of one of the first additions, that's an interesting little wrinkle.
Yeah, it depends on how you stagger that for sure. Max Power, asking about that second string defense, says, how do we solve a problem like the second unit's defense? And Rick 3199, who's from Brazil, shout out to Brazil, said the whole fam listens. Shout out to every Clippers fan in Brazil. They wonder, is Batum capable of filling the defensive gap that we have in our second unit?
All right. So to Max Power's point, how do we solve a problem? I still think we need another addition. Or you know, it could be creatively solved with, depending on how you stagger Kawhi and Paul George. You know, there are some options in the rotations. But other than, we like, as currently constructed, it's not great.
It just doesn't look very good.
And as currently constructed, no, Batum isn't capable of filling that gap.
He can't guard three people.
He can't. But it is a step in the right direction. And he certainly, you know, if he can stay healthy, is a solid defender. And you know, like a overall a neutral to positive impact player. He's not going to lose you games.
No.
But is it going to be Batum out there, you know, single-handedly saving that second unit? I don't think so at this point in his career.
Having Serge helps and stuff like that, but you still got to assume that, like, Patterson is still the backup four.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Like, the bench being bad at defense is nothing new to us.
We've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like, and while I think it's especially troublesome, you know, just given Kennard's health and everything, a new system, you know, maybe could mitigate some of those things. I don't really know if that'll be the case, but it's not like we haven't been here before.
Yeah. And you know, it's, if we see the rotation not shortened up in the playoffs, which I don't think will happen, then we can freak out about this. But the moves made by the Clippers right now are for the playoffs.
Definitely. Definitely.
They're not, I mean, obviously signing Batum helps the regular season, but like Batum is not, we talked about it, he's going to be fighting for that ninth, eighth spot, whatever, on the playoff rotation. Probably.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if it weren't for the loss of Jamichael, which makes it a little bit harder for me to mitigate in my mind, but like, I would say overall the bench got a little bit better. Now, I mean, certainly not defensively, but as an overall unit, I would say got a little bit better.
Yes, I would agree with that. I'm still pretending like Jermichael Green's just still on the team, if I'm being totally honest. Danny H., speaking of point guard stuff, wants to know, he says, am I missing something, or is the whole needing a point guard thing a little overblown? I always attributed that particular issue to Doc not running any sets or any kind of system, and that's the Trez minutes were the main factor as to why we underachieved last season. Joe McGinnis Jr., however, wants a point guard. He thinks maybe we trade Lou for D. Rose or George Hill or sign Jeremy Lin.
All right, so I guess I'll address the second point first. I don't understand a Lou trade for D. Rose. It's a lateral move at best to me.
Yeah, it sucks.
I think it's possibly even a downgrade because D. Rose is not as good of a shooter. Lou did lead this team in assists last year, and his game isn't predicated on athleticism.
Yeah.
Like D. Rose's is, you know?
Lou's going to get his shots.
Yeah.
You know, like he knows where to get his shot. He just falls to the left.
And he has a game that's like easy. I mean, the man plays and is, you know, really outside of the playoffs, a really consistent performer. So I don't understand that trade. I think that George Hill, I like the idea on paper. I think it's interesting. Certainly a vet guy, better defense, So a very capable shooter. He hasn't proved that part of his game.
Yeah.
A huge facilitator. That's not really what we think of him as, but he certainly, with that veteran presence, I'm sure it could get guys calmed down and into spots. Jeremy Lin, he's not in the league, and it's, it's for a reason.
Yeah, be a big flyer to take.
Yeah, and then, so as for if the needing a point thing is overblown, I think yes. And I think that what Danny H said here, Doc is one of the issues. The system wasn't well enough developed. There wasn't an offensive identity. And then the Trez minutes, definitely tanked us. And I'm like split because I do think that having that vet kind of playmaking guard.
Not like a marquee guy, because I think when people think about point guards, like the Clippers should have made
George Hill.
Yeah, like the Clippers should have made like a big trade for a point guard. And you're like, who's available with what we had to trade?
I'm just saying if this team last year had a George Hill or a DJ Augustine or something like that.
Yeah.
It definitely wouldn't have hurt the team.
For sure.
Does it make us, the de facto winner? No.
We still have Doc and Trez.
Does it guarantee that we get out of those Denver series? Not if the same mistakes were still made.
That's a really good call.
But it doesn't, it doesn't hurt the team.
No, absolutely not. We appreciate all the questions. We had a bunch this week. We just had to kind of sift through, pick the ones that kind of jumped out at us. We appreciate it. Always send them in. Send those in anytime, Lance or Matt Locked On Clips. Coming up, we're talking the new normal, which might be load management. But first, we got to give a shout out to Bill Goh.
Hey, what's Bill Goh?
Bill Goh helps you break through your wall, whether it's a mental or literal physical wall. You can run right through it like the Kool-Aid guy. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to save just for a weird bus ride if you got to get jacked up. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natty, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. How does it work so well, you're asking yourself as you listen to this?
I am.
Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets in your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. Beta alanine, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, so it literally makes you look better.
Ooh.
Get that thicker head of hair, thicker nails, If you visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, all capital letters, one word, you'll get 30% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right, so we're back and we're talking load management, the new norm. Obviously, this team's past with load management was highly publicized, but you got something before we dig into this want to sound off on.
Jay Scrubb, 55th pick by the Clippers in the 2020 NBA draft, is going to be out at least 3 months because he's getting a screw inserted to his right foot to deal with an injury. And this just kind of bewilders me. Not the needing a screw in your foot. I get that. You got to fix those bones. But is it weird that the team drafted a guy who I'm assuming they knew was going to need this kind of surgery? Not that it matters a bunch because it's like he's the 55th pick. It was going to be a camp. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Do they really like him? And that's why they took him? It's just kind of I was confused, I guess. I was retroactively confused.
Unless JUCO, for whatever reason, doesn't have to release their medicals, I would assume.
Do they?
I would assume that the team was aware of the injury. I'm sure it was part of the reason of him falling, even more. He was always going to be a second round guy, but I'd taken at the end of the second round. That could have been a factor. I don't think this is any indicative of any way in their sort of confidence in him. I do think it could be a confidence in the medical staff that they would be able to rehabilitate him to being a player. Overall, it does suck for him. If he's going to be out 4 months, that's half of his first NBA season.
Yeah.
I think it more or less is, the nail in the coffin of him even getting any rotation minutes.
It's such a tough break for the kid.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're starting off behind, you're already behind the eight ball. You're playing in JUCO. You were literally the best player in JUCO.
Yeah.
You get drafted late, which is an achievement unto itself. And then it's just like, oh, you're hurt. You got to get his. I hope he bounces back.
Tough start.
Shout out Jay Scrubb. Hope you get well soon. Want to see you out there lighting fools up like you did in JUCO. And now we're going to get to the more, important part of load management, just having kind of a new spin this year. The team Can, you know, we can have individual workouts. There was a great Andrew Greif piece in the LA Times, as always. Please support Greif's writing. That individual workouts have the green light to begin today, when you're listening to this, at the practice facility. Greif also said that the team's overall health is one of the biggest priorities this season. And, like, this is great. And it makes total sense, obviously. But there's not only going to be normal load management, but COVID load management might be a very real thing.
Oh, I think it absolutely will be. But the fortunate thing is, or I mean, it's still unfortunate.
Here's the positives of COVID.
You know, with the COVID thing, it's not like it's exclusive to the Clippers. That will be a league-wide issue. And I do think that, you know, being in a state and that's a little bit more restrictive, you know, I'm hoping will be positive for all the players in California. And, you know, it's really difficult to say what is going to happen nationwide, obviously, with restrictions lifting and some stadiums allowing fans and stuff. It's a very difficult, uncontrolled situation. But, you know, all 30 teams are staring it down.
100%. Because we're going to have, you know, Kawhi's not going to be playing back-to-backs, which he shouldn't. That was kind of going in. Is there a chance we see more rest for PG, too? Because we got to keep our guys healthy for the season. Like,
this is interesting. Yeah, and I think it's going to be on an as-needed basis. One of the things that always kind of made me pause at the, you know, the idea that PG was fully back and healthy is, you know, he would often be, like I alluded to in the other segment, kind of one of the first subs out of that starting unit, which made me wonder, you know, like if that was just for staggering purposes. I think it more likely had to do with his health.
That's a good call.
And kind of looking at that. So I think that it's a possibility, you know, with guys not being able to get in, like, competitive basketball, like in terms of runs,
like
pickup,
at all, really,
or like anything.
No,
like that.
Drew League. You can't show up at a, you know, Jamal Crawford's pro am and kill it. Like,
yeah. So I think with, you know, with the absence of that, it's going to be difficult for guys to get back into the game shape that they normally like to be in.
Kennard took a bunch of time off too. You know,
like, yeah. He's got so and Kennard is another one. We certainly have we have load managed Lou Will before.
Bev, like we talked about that last segment, like the dude is probably going to miss a handful of games.
Bev is going to need to be certainly injury managed much more closely than he was last season.
Man, they just looking at the roster right now, say the season started tomorrow, which it basically feels like it does. Is the Clippers roster constructed in a way that the team can be get, and like there's a lot of variables here, right? Like we don't know what the COVID situation is going to look like. It's crazy in the NFL, but they got more players and staff and all that. Can the Clips still finish top four seed with this roster?
I absolutely think that this is a top four roster. You know, it obviously it depends on the opponent, but like night in, night out, I think even if you have two guys out of this lineup, you're still looking at a pretty formidable team.
Yeah, 100%.
That, you know, that can, you know, probably beat 60% of the league on a good night.
For sure.
So, yeah, I still think that, I still think that this is a top four roster. Obviously, any substantial injury, that changes that for sure. But in terms of just load management, like, I think that they can figure it out in an intelligent way that's not going to, like, meaningfully impact this team's win percentage or, you know, I still think a top four seed is definitely going to be the goal. No matter how much we stay, we don't care about the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, having that home court, whatever the hell it's going to look like, advantage with whatever the hell the playoffs end up looking like will be great for this team.
Yes.
I agree. I think we're there. I think it's quasi-close, though.
I agree. You know? I mean, that's why I said, like, on a good night. I mean, like, yeah. This team will have to compete very hard, obviously, when anytime somebody is out. And, like, we're going to need to see a different gear from this team. But I think that that's a positive thing, too. You know, we
good call.
We saw games. And, like,
we had a guy who we could rely on to play the second half of games.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we just saw it, and other players commented on it. You know, there were times that we came out with, I think, less urgency than a game deserved.
Sluggish.
And I think that
we saw it all year, yeah.
I think that if we have to battle, you know, just to maintain a place in the standings, I think that that definitely changes that outlook.
Iron sharpens iron. Let us know what y'all think at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking a former Clipper great, a former Clipper who was there for 2 seconds, who people might want to come back, as well as a new look Kawhi. But first, if you want to get basketball smart, start with listening to every podcast on the Locked On NBA Network, plus Hollinger and Duncan. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, so we're back with Shavians.
Yeah.
And former G League great. Former G League player of the year, right? Rookie.
Pretty sure, yeah. And not a weird team award like Dr. Dribble, a real award.
Of course, we're talking Jonathan Motley, who recently signed a camp contract for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, the Free Motley movement goes to Phoenix. If you're an avid listener of this pod, back in the early days, the Free Motley movement kind of worked.
Yes.
He got some time with the Clippers. Couldn't really stick around. We had some bigs and what's not. What is Jonathan?
We had Trez also playing the entire second half of the game. Yes. You know, there was some
things. We had Angel Delgado grabbing 38 rebounds a game in the G League. What does Jonathan Motley need to do? And this is kind of a deep cut for people to become a rotational NBA player.
Look, I think he just needs to develop defensively. He's already a solid rebounder.
Fast, dude. A lot of energy.
He's definitely he's improved his body every year he's been in the league. He's gotten, you know, bigger because he was a little lanky, but he has a big frame.
Yes.
I think that he needs to take a step up defensively and be more of a rim deterrent, and then he'll definitely be a rotation player. Or, I mean, what's the thing that you want to say?
It's either that or, he starts shooting 36%.
I knew that's what you wanted.
Like, I don't know what else. I mean, it sucks because he's a good guy. He's a good player and everything, but yeah, it's just interesting. I hope he gets a spot, you know, with Phoenix and whatnot. Glad he's getting another shot.
Yep. This will be his third NBA team. And I think that he could carve out some rotation minutes. Once again, it also is just dependent on fit and who the team is able to surround him with.
Yeah.
You know,
To be honest, I don't know anything about the Suns G League affiliate. So
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Hope it works well. Next topic, which is something we got asked about a few times on Twitter Tuesday. Isaiah Thomas.
What is there to ask?
People think the Clippers should maybe give him a shot.
For what purpose?
We already tried. We waived him immediately. It would make the team worse.
It would make
the team worse. He's not coming to the Clippers. And
it would make the team worse. Look, man, at this point in their careers, Luke Kennard is a better guard. And
Kawhi Leonard's a better guard.
I mean, that's not fair. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's really sad because he was, I mean, almost like a folk hero.
Hero back up in Seattle, too.
It's really unfortunate how that all went down. You know, obviously, I still think you make that Kyrie Irving trade. Any franchise would
trade for a bag of peanuts.
But he lost his athleticism, you know, which happens with age, and he had an unfortunate injury. But if you're a smaller guard, so much of your game is predicated on that.
Yep.
And maybe there's a way that he could change his style of play to be more efficient outside, and he could carve out some minutes on somebody's bench, but it's not going to be ours.
I can't imagine with the current backcourt second string unit of Luke Kennard and Lou Williams, we would add Isaiah Thomas to that mix.
No, I'm just
even to
really
soak up minutes because you're just giving up points on the other end.
Yeah,
pretty consistently each time.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing it. And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, shout out Isaiah Thomas, love that great human being. Follow him on Twitter. Good Twitter follow too. Should we talk new look Kawhi?
Yes, we should.
He looks bigger.
Yeah, there was a Clipper Talk posted a rare sighting of Kawhi. He looks even stronger somehow. He's got a new hairstyle. He's got braids, possibly wrapping up into some sort of bun.
Yes,
is what it looks like. What do you think? What would you like to see new for Kawhi this year?
I want the whole team to have just bald heads. Game one, everyone's bicked down.
What? Yeah, if everyone goes bald on day one and then just lets the hair grow through the playoffs, all natural, no touch-ups.
No, I love that. It's just funny, seeing pictures of Kawhi, in a natural environment.
Yes.
You're almost like, oh, There he is. Like, he's doing his thing. Because other than that X2 picture for his, like, energy brand, this is the only thing we've seen of Kawhi this whole time.
It's very rare. It's very rare.
I love it.
I, like,
feel like I'm seeing, like, an Arctic fox. Like, I've set up to get, like, some very rare shot. Like,
well, you know how there's, like, all those crazy stories of, like, paparazzi, like, jumping off a building to, like, get a picture of somebody?
Yeah.
How much money could you get for a good pic of Kawhi, do you think, on the internet?
This dude probably took this photo from 400 yards away with the biggest telephoto lens you've ever seen in your life and then was probably sniped out. No, shout out Kawhi. Shout out, still getting strong.
And then train a carrier pigeon to just track Kawhi and take pictures.
He would notice. He'd be like, that pigeon. He'd be like, that bird's taking pictures. And everyone'd be like, hey, he's probably right. And then Kawhi would throw a rock at the bird and hit it. We're going to wrap this up with an actual Twitter Tuesday question from Jonathan Chikas. He wants to know, why is Trez being an ass and showing no love when the Clips gave him chance to grow? I think a lot of this is in response to, so Jermichael Green went through like every single person who commented on his IG post, said, you know, appreciate it, love playing for the team, yada, yada. There's been a lot of players who've posted like heartfelt, I'm going to miss this place type things. Trez hasn't. I think it's a two-part issue.
Okay.
I think it's, I mean, recency bias. The bubble was a giant letdown. So you put Trez in this weird position, right? Because of Doc. Like,
yes.
I think Doc is not getting a lot of blame that I think Trez is getting.
Well, he's gone.
He's gone, for sure. And it's hard because the second part of this is Trez is one of those people who seems like he just kind of sucks in this way.
Well, I like that you said being an ass. I think that's like, Jonathan Chikas, that made my day. That's perfect. Well, here's the thing. I agree with you. Like, he wasn't put in great, like, positions to succeed.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like, I think a lot of people were rightfully so pretty critical of, you know, some of the decisions that were made as well as some of his performances in the bubble. But I do think that there was probably a subset of people who definitely crossed the line and turned that into a personal thing.
Or absolutely.
Like a whole ugly sort of thing that I don't even want to think about. And then the other thing is like, man, he is, you know, like, I'm not saying this is a disparaging way at all, but like, you know, he's like a sensitive dude. It seems like he definitely,
if you follow him on Instagram, you know exactly what Will's talking about right now. And yeah. I mean that in a nice way. Cause like the guy goes through it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that he has his own like mental health struggles. And I think that definitely ties into this. And man, how could you not take something like this personally? I
you don't get an offer from the team. Cause he obviously didn't get an offer.
Or they didn't offer him the MLE, you know, they got Surge for the same price. And I think that, you know, for fit, that was the better decision for this team. But yeah, I like, as a human being, as someone who gave a lot to this franchise and did rightfully, like, they grew. He earned himself a paycheck.
Yeah.
With what he was able to do for this team. I don't know how you can't feel slighted by that. So I understand it. Obviously, it would be great for him to have left on better terms, but you know, it's a road that goes both ways.
What gets me is the thing is that I'm assuming he just had better offers than the team across the hall. And there's that interview with him, right, where he's like, oh, did the Clippers not want you? And he's like, well, I guess if I'm sitting over here, it doesn't seem like they wanted me. That, it's like that kind of comment. It's like, sure, but you also did things like publicly in the media, the one time that we know for sure, talk about how some guys didn't want it as bad as you and that kind of thing after that, during that Grizzlies Knicks back to back. And then you definitely leaked stuff, dude. Like, you definitely had stuff leaked. And whether it was your agency or whatever, you obviously didn't do enough to reassure the front office that you didn't have a hand in kind of doing that lame stuff.
So the leak thing, I think, is like dual fold. I mean, he was vocal in the locker room about being disappointed with some of the lackadaisical nature of the team. Which I think is fair. Some of the other leak stuff, though, I think is more related to the agency just not wanting him to look bad and trying to sort of save face after some of that bubble stuff.
And then that agency's team just signed him for way cheaper.
Well, okay, and then here's the thing with the Lakers thing, right? Like, I don't necessarily think that it's specifically a clutch thing. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but I think that if you're Trez, it's sort of like when you're playing blackjack, right? And you get two of the same card, you always double down on the bet. you always split the cards.
Yes.
Because that, like, that's just what you do. So if you get an option where you're getting paid twice what you were getting paid before, but you get a player option on the second year and you have an opportunity to play on a team that could win another championship,
yeah,
thus making you even more money in the next free agency, man, I think you make that bet.
I think so. I agree with that, but like, it's pretty crazy. We're going to see what happens because he lost a lot of money in the bubble, which was partially Doc's fault.
Yeah. I mean, I think he still could have regained some of it if he was willing to take a longer term deal in like probably the 12 range, which was definitely less than what he was expecting.
Yes.
Going into the bubble. But I mean, like, you know, I understand it. I
make $1 million decisions truly every day in my life. So we get it. But no, shout out Jonathan for the question. It is a very good question. But yeah, appreciate all the questions. You can send those in to @LockedOnClips. Coming up on Wednesday's episode, we're going to have What You Say Wednesday, so look out for the poll on Twitter for that around 10 to noon. Rotation talking, and then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipland. Will, where can these people tell their family and friends to listen to us?
You can tell your friends or family or yourself to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Come on. What are you doing? We bring this to you 5 days a week. Don't you want to know about it?
Okay.
If you haven't already, leave a rating or review if you like what you're hearing.
Please.
We'd love to know what you think. We'll definitely read it on air. So, yeah, just keep rocking with us. The season is rapidly approaching. We couldn't be more excited to bring you this Clippers news.
Basically, here, training camp is starting, and I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.